Last year, the governor vetoed an out-and-out repeal of RGGI, and the Senate failed, by just one vote, to override that veto. This year, Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley is hoping the House and Senate can reach agreement on what to do about RGGI.
I know that the House has more interest in it this year, so hope that we can find common ground and move forward.
And unlike last year, it seems that the more ardently anti-RGGI House might also be ready to deal. Here's the chair of the House Science and Technology Committee, Jim Garrity, who has pushed hard to get RGGI overturned.
This year, we're much more amenable to meeting somewhere in the middle.
He and others who want out of RGGI were thwarted because there's a handful of Senate Republicans who think the cap-and-trade program needs to be reformed and not repealed.
I believe that actually it was initially begun by Republicans, and so there are some good pieces to it.
CECO Senator Nancy Stiles is one of those.
I do think we need to try to make available to some of our lower-income people the ability to make some energy changes, which saves them energy, saves them money.
RGGI is designed to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. Plants that emit too much CO2 have to buy allowances at auction. The money from those auctions goes into a fund that the Public Utilities Commission gives out as grants for programs to improve energy efficiency. Utilities can pass the cost of RGGI allowances down to their ratepayers. This is what Republican lawmakers have called the hidden tax, and it amounts to around 35 cents a month on the average electric bill. RGGI has given out 36 grants worth a total of $31 million. The grants go to municipalities, companies, and not-for-profits who do energy projects like retrofitting old, inefficient buildings. One grant, worth $2 million, went to a program designed to help people winterize mobile homes. It's administered by the Community Loan Fund, a group that helps manufactured housing communities, more commonly known as trailer parks, buy the land under their homes. The Community Loan Fund's vice president for policy and programs, Rick Menard, says getting control of their park isn't the only challenge facing these communities.
So they were all set, but they were being clobbered by energy costs. And typically they didn't have the money that they needed to get a loan or invest in an energy audit and heating.
The Community Loan Fund and their partners used RGGI dollars to do energy audits, replace furnaces, and insulate the roofs and floors of dozens of homes. Once the program's finished, they hope to have helped out more than 400 homeowners. Carla Bill got one of those energy retrofits.
I've had a ball with it. The cats and I have been nice and toasty.
She went from paying between $1,500 and $2,000 a year in heating oil to less than $900. The Community Loan Fund estimates that weatherizing these homes will save almost $320,000 every year in heating and cooling costs. Other RGGI grants are producing similar results. A UNH study found that for every dollar invested, RGGI projects will save $4.64 worth of energy. But politically, that's beside the point. Corey Lewandowski is the director of the New Hampshire chapter of Americans for Prosperity.
The government choosing winners and losers by taxing the residents and then giving that money to for-profit entities is not what our country is founded on.
No matter how effective RGGI grants are at producing savings, some of them have become lightning rods. Stonyfield Yogurt got a grant of almost $150,000. Dartmouth College got $330,000, and UNH got just over $800,000. Proponents argue that these were good projects that produced a lot of energy savings, and some of which leveraged other grants to multiply RGGI money. But even Republican lawmakers who think RGGI is all right say it's wrong to send ratepayer money to places that are already committed to being environmentally friendly. That's why the Senate version of RGGI reform would redirect the money into a PSNH program that does energy retrofits for homeowners and businesses. Here again is Senator Jeb Bradley.
The energy efficiency programs that have been part of the New Hampshire landscape for the last 12 years are a much better way of doing it than what I think are oftentimes politically motivated, politically driven grants.
Bradley and other Senate Republicans are walking a fine line politically. Anything less than a full repeal is not going to satisfy the GOP base. And people like Corey Lewandowski of Americans for Prosperity will be watching. The union leader recently reported that his group was sending mailers to voters in the districts of senators who voted against a full repeal of RGGI.
Absolutely. I think it is fair if elected officials take a position on an issue such as RGGI that the voters in their district understand what those elected officials' positions are.
Don't be surprised if more such mailers arrive in mailboxes coming into the primary. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.